بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله ذي الكبرياء والعظمة، الحمد لله العزيز المجيد، أحمده حمد الشاكرين وأستغفره وأتوب إليه. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل وسلم على نبيك محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبعد، أيها الإخوة الكرام، dear brothers and sisters, today our subject is about fiqh al-tashabbuh, which is the rules or how to understand the tashabbuh, which it means imitation, the imitation, al-tashabbuh. Before I start, I would like to mention that our nations, the Muslims' nations, lost yesterday one great scholar. He passed away, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is al-Imam al-Shaykh Abu Abdurrahman Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. Shaykh Muqbil al-Wadi'i, a great Imam from Yemen, and he is one of Ahlul Hadith. He passed away yesterday, rahimahullah, in Mecca, and he passed away after 71 years, rahimahullah ta'ala, around that age. He spent most of his time to serving sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ahadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After a long fight with the cancer in his liver, rahimahullah ta'ala wa ghafarallahu lah. Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi'i was a very simple person in Medina. One day, he just was working for construction, painting or buildings. He was not, has nothing to do with knowledge. But one night or one day, he walked into the Prophet ﷺ's masjid. Then he attended to one of the classes. I believe it was about Sahih al-Bukhari, explaining Sahih al-Bukhari. Then he found it very interesting topic to learn about hadith. Then he asked the Sheikh that I would like to start learning the hadith. Then he entered the school, he finished the high school, then he finished the college in hadith, then he finished his master, rahimahullah ta'ala, in a very delicate matter, which is he authentic the book or haqqaqa the book of Ad-Dharqutni, Al-Ilzamat wa Tatabbu', which Ad-Dharqutni has a book. He was discussing some ahadith related to Al-Bukhari wa Muslim, which is has some weak narrator, and how he proved, he was discussing with Al-Bukhari in a very delicate matters in hadith, which is one of the highest level of the ilm al-hadith. And Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, he go over that book, and he made tahqiq to that book. He reviewed and he did his master basically studying this book by Dharqutni. He was an amazing person, rahimahullah, how he dedicated himself to the sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though when he was discussing his master degree in Medina, for some reason that days, where there are a very big fitnah in Saudi Arabia, which it called fitnat al-Juhayman, that person who entered al-Kaaba in around 14,000 for Hijrah, And I believe it's 1980, I think, if I'm not mistaken, when that man and a group enter Mecca and they close the gates of Kaaba and they start fighting and said, we are al-Mahdi, and a very common or well-known story. I don't need to go over it. Anyway, in that fitna, Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi, rahimahullah, he is from Yemen. He is from Yemen. He been ordered to leave the country and Saudi Arabia. And Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was the head of the Medina University that time. And Sheikh Muqbil get the chance to study under him, under Sheikh Al-Albani, and so many greats, Imam Shanqiti, and other Imams like them. And Sheikh bin Baz asked the government to give him a chance to finish his master. He already finished the master, and he made the, he attended the discussion with his master, and after that he left the country, rahimahullah ta'ala. Anyway, he went to the Yemen and was great ni'mah from Allah that that person been taken out from Saudi Arabia. Because honestly, Imam Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman Muqbil al-Wadi, after he went to Yemen, he spread the sunnah in Yemen. I can tell you now, almost the student of knowledge in Yemen, they are his students. He has regularly more than 3,000 students. Regularly. And this number increase in the summer time and vacations time. But the regular number of students attending to his classes were 3,000 students continuing from more than 70 different nationalities. More than 70 different nationalities in his class, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he was an amazing teacher. The attitude he has, manners he had, you can believe يعني, how much he cared about his students, and was very simple person, rahimahullah ta'ala. Once one of his students told me, if I'm not mistaken, it was Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi, this was a long time ago, he told me that once the Sheikh Muqbil, his house is built from wood. Then the rain came and start, the rain comes through the roof. Sheikh was fixing the roof, and he came to the Salat late, after the Imam made the Takbirat al-Ula, Takbirat al-Ihram. Actually, he came while he's reading al-Fatiha. Then the Imam was reciting this surah from Surah, these verses from Surah al-Tawbah. سيقول المخلفون من الأعراب شغلتنا أموالنا وأهلنا. This verse basically saying the Arab, and you will know what Arab means in this today in our class. The Arab, the bad ones, or the bad ones, they will say to you, Ya Muhammad, we are late because we were busy with our family and our taking care of our wealth. That I talking about jihad, but when he heard that verse, that they will tell you we're busy with our wealth or our own family, he start crying in the Salat so much. Even everybody, and he felt sorry for him, because he felt that this ayah talking to him directly, rahimahullah ta'ala. I never get chance to study under him, rahimahullah ta'ala, but alhamdulillah, it was a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I saw him in L.A., when he came to try to find a cure for his to plan a liver, and actually, but he couldn't continue. And the Sheikh went 3 days before he died to Germany, trying. And this was by sponsored by the Saudi government. I think they tried to make it up to him. And this was also through Sheikh Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. He's the one who asked that one of the princes to pay the expenses of the medication of Sheikh Muqbil al-Wadi. Anyway, I saw him in L.A. and I was surprised from how simple person he is, rahimahullah, and how he is very, very generous also, and he care much about the etiquettes of the guests. to honor the guest and welcome the guest. And I couldn't believe that that man, I used to hear his voice in the tapes from more than 17 years. I've been listening to his tape, that the man I'm talking to today. I remember one of the first tapes I have ever heard, his explanation to Al-Ba'ith Al-Hathith, which is a very great tapes and explanation in Ulum Al-Hadith. Anyway, talking about Sheikh Muqbil is itself a lecture, but really Sheikh Muqbil Rahimahullah was an amazing person, has a lot of books he wrote and authored a lot of books, and there's a lot of tapes, and he was one of those people who always care so much about Sunnah and hate the Bid'ah so much, rahimahullah ta'ala, even though his tongue was so harsh, even though his refuting sometimes is too harsh, rahimahullah ta'ala, but nobody is complete, nobody is free of mistakes, but I believe it's honor for him that he served Sunnat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he died, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa kullu ahadin yu'khadu min qawlihi wa yurad. Everyone we take from his statement and we leave, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whatever he said is truth, whatever he said is right, whatever he asked us to do is the right and the complete thing, because he was free of mistakes sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or free of making a mistakes, and this mistakes will not be corrected from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's impossible to happen from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, he is the role model in all of all his actions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive to Sheikh Abu Abdurrahman Muqbil al-Wadi'i and raise his station in Jannah and forgive his sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this ummah, ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who replaced these scholars, and to guide this ummah insha'Allah to what is to give this ummah the victorious and the honor this ummah deserve. This was a hint I would like to mention it, or something I would like to mention it before I start my class, because I believe this is one of the rights these scholars deserve to have, and this is one of the obligations upon us toward our scholars. Rahimallahu al-jami' wa ghafara Allahu lahum. Our subject today actually is a very interesting topic. It is about fiqh al-tashabbuh, ruling of tashabbuh, ruling of imitation. Tashabbuh, when you imitate something or you copy something, you try to be looks like something, this is what we call tashabbuh. And this subject, really we need to know about it and learn about it and know the rules regarding this subject, because there is a lot of Muslims, they do not care much about this subject. We have seen a lot of Muslims in the whole, the Muslim world, and in the Western world especially, they do not even consider this an important subject. I'm doing this, or I'm wearing that, or I'm acting like this. Is this imitation to kuffar? Is this allowed or not? Much of Muslims, they do not care. She or he will never ask himself, or bother himself by asking, I'm allowed to do this, or I'm allowed to do that. And also there is, on the other hand, a lot of people who misunderstand the meaning of imitation. Who misunderstand the meaning of imitation, that he imagine everything is imitation, for example, to kuffar, so everything is haram, you're not allowed to do that. So basically we have two extreme in this matter. Because of that, I believe we need to learn how, or to look to the statement of the scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala, the rules the scholars set up for this matter. Where we can find this subject? In which book we can find this subject? In which knowledge? When we study the hadith, when we study aqidah, when we study usul al-fiqh, when we study fiqh, where? How we can go over this subject and read about it more? I'm going to tell you where, just to show you how difficult is this lecture is. How difficult is to prepare for this lecture. This subject, it is in two kind of books. The talk about imitation and rule regarding imitation is spread out all over the chapter of the books of fiqh. You can see it when the scholars talk about the rule of salat, rule of tahara, a rule of closing, a rule of ibadat, the rule of mu'amalat, the transaction or the communication or the etiquette. You basically, you can find scholars talking about this subject in every single chapter in the book of fiqh, as you will see. Also, the scholars who talk about aqidah, they talk about these issues. When you read in aqidah's book, the book which is related to the creed, it's talking about the subject of imitation. Where? When they're talking about al-wala wal-bara. When they're talking about the subject of al-wala wal-bara. Where you can find al-wala wal-bara in Kutub al-Aqidah? In which chapter? When you're talking about the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because wala'u bara, loyalty, love. This is wala'. Bara', hate, separation. This is bara'. This is something which is required from you when you say La ilaha illallah. That you give your loyalty, your love, your support to the Muslimin. That you separate yourself, you hate, you do not support the kafirin. This related to the fundamentals of tawheed, to the first chapter, the first subject in tawheed, which is the meaning of la ilaha illallah. You will find the scholars mentioning this issue, which is the rule of tashabbuh or the rules regarding imitation, the kuffar. So basically, this subject, it's not much been talking about it as a subject by itself, except from a few scholars who try to collect that, such as Imam al-Dhahabi has a book related to the subject. There is another Imam, Shafi'i also, he wrote about this, not al-Imam al-Shafi'i, one Imam, he's from the Shafi'iyya, he's from the Shafi'i scholar of school of thought. He also talked about the subject, has special book, and other books talked about the rule of tashabbuh or imitation. Today I would like to talk to you about the rule of imitation through this point. One, we will talk about the meaning of imitation. Two, what is the proof or evidence we use to prove that imitation or the forbidden imitation? What's the rules for this forbidden imitation? Three, whom we are not allowed to imitate. Fourth, rules regarding imitation the kuffar, rules regarding imitating the kuffar, rule regard imitating the fussaq, the fasiq, and the mubtadi', rule regarding imitating the satan, الشيطان, rule regard imitating the animals, rule, regard, imitating. When the man imitate the woman, or woman imitating the man. And examples for each category. I would like to mention something before I start. I'm not going to talk about the permissible imitation in this lectures, because there is the imitation of the prophets, the righteous people, something recommended, something wajib, like imitating the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is wajib, is obligation. I'm not talking about the permissible imitation here. I'm only about talking about what is forbidden in Sharia to imitate. So you be aware of it, stay away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on me and on you. At-tashabbuh, lughatan masdar tashabbaha. والشين والباء والهاء تشبه comes from the word شبه شين باء هاء شبه that شين and باء and هاء it means something similar to other. When you use this word in Arabic, we said this is similar, this one is similar to this one, looks like that one, it means they are mutashabih. And you know, we having something called, this is mutashabih in Quran, for example. When two different things looks like each other, you get confused which one is the right one, because they are very close to each other. This is mutashabih. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-halal is clear. Haram, the permissible, is clear. The forbidden is clear. And between them, there is a fine line between the halal and haram. What he called this kind of things, the Prophet ﷺ? Mushtabihat. They are, looks like each other. It can be haram, halal. They are very similar, so you get confused. So the word tashabuh, something similar to something. Okay? What about the meaning of tashabbuh here in this subject, the forbidden imitation? The scholars have different way of explaining the meaning of the forbidden tashabbuh, the forbidden imitation. They said, what qalu, and hadha qala al-imam Muhammad al-Ghazzi al-Shafi'i, at-tashabbuhu ibaratun an muhawalati al-insan أن يكون شبه المشبه به وعلى هيئته وحليته ونعته وصفته هو عبارة عن تكلف ذلك وتقصده وتعمده. He said, imitation, it means that Imam, his name is Muhammad al-Ghazzi, he's from Shafi'i school of thought. He said that imitation, when somebody try to be similar to other, and he intend to be like him. He intend to be like him in the way he looks, in the way he dress, and copying his attitude. He does this with full intention of copying him. That basically what he said. You can say it in other words, هو تكلف الإنسان مشابهة غيره في كل ما يتصف به غيره أو بعضه. When somebody tried to imitate other, and he trying to do that, that's what we call imitation. So you can understand from this word that when you have intention to copy, that what we call tashabbuh. So without intention, there is no tashabbuh. It's called tashabuh. There's two words. You have to know the different, because it has a different in the rule. When you have intention to copy, This is tashabbuh. I'm trying to copy him. My intention is to be looks like him. طيب. What if I did something, I don't mean to copy that person, but I found out that I'm doing like him. I'm dressing like him. I'm working like him. I'm eating like him. I have no intention. Well, that's what we call in Arabic, tashabuh. Tashabuh. Not tashabuh. So there's two different words. The one with intention of copying, this is the Sharia came to say it is forbidden. No doubt. When you imitate anything, you're not allowed to imitate by your intention. You're sinful if you did it. So what if I did kind of imitation to something I'm not allowed to copy, and I found out lately that I looks like that. Like I did something, shaitan does it. I didn't know that. We will say, you're not sinful for that, but still you are coming. You have to change it. You're not allowed to keep also the tashabuh. Somebody said, I do this. I didn't know this is forbidden, or this is like what the shaitan does. Now you know. So now you have to quit doing that. So both thing now, basically, ends up that you're not allowed to do it. But the first one, he's sinful because of his intention. The second one, if he continue doing it, it became haram, it became sin. Inshallah, you will understand more when it comes to examples and rules. طيب, what? There are certain things we are not allowed to copy or to imitate in Sharia. One, it's forbidden to imitate the kuffar in Islam. Kuffar, the word kuffar indicate the kuffar in the Prophet ﷺ's time, the Arab who were not Muslim in the Prophet ﷺ's times. Two, the Persian, the Furs, the one who worship fire, the Majus. Three, the Jewish. Four, the Christian. Fifth, As-Sabi'ah, the people who used to worship stars. Six, every single disbeliever worship cow, worship idols, worship whatever, tree, anything like this. So any mushrik, you are not allowed to copy. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the kuffar, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever will give muwalat, tawalli, whoever will love them, whoever will be like them, whoever will be with them, he is among them, among the kuffar. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever copy people, he will be like them. من تشبه بقوم فهو منه سيأتي الكلام عليه. Also the Prophet ﷺ said, as in hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, رضي الله عنه, that he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, you are going to follow the nations before you, step by step. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the Jewish and Christian. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, yes, so whom you think you are going to follow? If this ummah, the Prophet said, they are going to follow the Christian and Jew step by step. And that's true. There is a lot of things you will see. This ummah adopted from the Christianity and Judaism. In their worship, in their culture, from the Judaism and from the Christianity, culture and religion. Also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us to make differentiation between us and the mushrikeen, not to copy them. He said, khaliful mushrikeen. خالف المشركين, which it means do not do like the مشركين. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once saw Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and this is in Sahih Muslim, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was wearing thobes mu'asfar, yellowish thobes. Yeah, it has also za'faran in it. And the Prophet said, do not wear this, it is the thobes of the kuffar. See? So order him to not to do because it's the kuffar clothes. Also, there is another one, but you have to be يعني, careful to what I'm going to say so nobody gets angry at me or miscutting me later on. The scholars use the term of forbidding imitating the A'ajim.